Christian Audio presents It's Time to Pray, God's Power Changes Everything by Carter Conlon, narrated by Carter Conlon and Bennett Hughes.
To Jason, Jared, and Kate, may you always be known for faith and remembered for kindness. Much love, Dad.
Forward. In the summer of 1988, I was born again. I lived in Darien, Connecticut, and immediately began attending an amazing church there called St. Paul's. The preaching was extraordinary, and the worship was powerful. The people who attended believed in miracles and prayed for miracles, and God often performed miracles. Many people had their lives changed there, but no sooner had I settled in than the charismatic and brilliant pastor who had been at the center of this movement decided it was finally time to retire. I was devastated. Was it perhaps time for me to leave too? If I needed help deciding whether to stay, a woman with whom I had just broken up after a long relationship decided that she would continue attending, so perhaps it was indeed best for me to move on. But where would I go? What could compare to this spectacular place? My friend Joey Soma had the answer to my problems. "You've got to come to Times Square Church with us," he said. "It's like totally nuts." Joey actually spoke that way then. I found it hard to believe that there was any church as wonderful as Joey maintained, but he was relentless in getting me to come. "Have you ever heard of David Wilkerson?" he asked. "He wrote The Cross and the Switchblade. You've got to read it." So I quickly read The Cross and the Switchblade and was smitten with it, with the outrageous and true story of a young, skinny country preacher sent by God into the most dangerous parts of New York in the late 1950s with the goal of reaching the hardened gang members with the message of Jesus. It was a story of miracles upon miracles, and Joey was telling me that this same fiery country preacher had just started a church in Manhattan 30 years later. So one day in the spring of 1990, I drove from New Canaan, Connecticut, into Manhattan, and stepped into the landmark Broadway theater that was now Times Square Church. It was magnificently ornate, with red velvet seats and gilded columns and ornate theater boxes. But the decor was nothing compared with what happened once the heavy curtain rose to the rafters and the worship began. I'd never seen anything like it. The church was filled with over 1,500 people of every nationality and color and background, including a liberal sprinkling of street people and former drug addicts, and everyone was singing and shouting and leaping and laughing. In other words, the joint was jumping. And in the pulpit to preach as fiery a message as I had ever heard was none other than David Wilkerson. But the skinny country preacher from the paperback classic had been transformed into a 60-year-old, no less wild-eyed for God than he was in the book I had just read. When it was all over and I walked out onto the streets of Manhattan, I felt palpably different about the whole city. It couldn't be the same city anymore, not after what I had experienced. If all that was going on in a theater in the middle of Times Square, New York was simply not the same and never again could be. God was in New York. I was so moved by what I saw that evening that I soon decided to attend regularly. Two or three times a week, a group of us would drive down from Connecticut. Even when I wasn't able to attend a service, I would listen to cassette tapes in my car of one of the sermons I had missed. A whole new world had been opened for me, and my faith grew and grew like a beanstalk soaring through the clouds to reach heaven itself. Over the next years, I met many new friends there. Then one weekend in 1994, I met Suzanne, the woman I would marry. That same year, a new pastor arrived at Times Square Church. He was a young man from rural Canada, a former cop named Carter Conlon. David Wilkerson's younger brother Don was also a pastor at the church, and one day he asked his son Todd, now my radio announcer, if Todd and I could take Pastor Carter's teenage sons out for a bite after the service to be hospitable. So we did. We took them right next door to Beefsteak Charlie's. Today, it's a McDonald's, and had some food and talked. But what did two New Yorkers in their 20s say to teenagers from the wilds of Canada? Did you guess that we talked about hockey? We did. Little did I dream then that that brand new pastor would grow into the extraordinary man of God that he is, genuinely humble and loving and a spiritual father to so many, that he, in fact, would become the senior pastor of the church and would be leading its flock nearly a quarter of a century later. 2 years later, Suzanne and I got
Sample complete. Ready to continue?